Try talking now.
Talking into the mic right now.
There she is. She's talking.
This is me. I'm talking.
She's talking like a lady.
I'm talking like a lady. To James. It's to me. James. It's with me. His fresh haircut now.
Feeling the breeze.
Feeling the breeze. On your scalp.
Easy, breezy, beautiful.
Cover girl.
Welcome to Minority Corner.
With an Eke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Previously on Minority Corner,
we had Anthony Williams.
Anthony Williams from Diary of a Teenage Girl. He was great.
He was great. Activist. Follow him on Twitter.
Talented actor. Rowan from Girl Meets World.
Brilliant young child.
Beautiful mind.
I know.
We put her in the first party corner.
Party corner was invented.
It was very invented.
We're very happy about the party corner.
Yes, and you talked about
Marvel.
We marveled at Marvel.
Propping it for the people of color.
Yes, and speaking of people of color, we talked about sexual racism.
In Australia.
In Australia, and that's the same thing as just regular racism.
Yes.
So... spoiler alert, mystery solved, you're racist.
You need to date outside of your race. It's more fun.
It is more fun. All right, well, shall we go?
Let's go.
See you over there, girl. Oh, hey, girl, hey.
What's up, James?
Hey, girl, looking good.
So are you.
What do you mean?
Well, I keep raving about this haircut of yours.
I did get a haircut.
He looks sharp, y'all.
I'm going to Europe, and I want to just be footloose. Oh, so I want to be footloose and fancy free.
You need
to
be footloose.
I want to be easy, breezy, beautiful.
Cover girl.
And just have, you know, no hair on my head. No fuss, no muss.
No fuss, no muss. Just quick and easy in the morning.
I wake up and go.
Ready to go.
Yes. I hadn't had a haircut in a year.
That was a year?
I mean, I shaped it up a bit here and there.
Yeah, because I remember you got a haircut, like, a little...
But I was trying to let it, like, grow out. And then I never figured out what to do with it. I was just wearing hats for, like, the entire year.
That's kind of how I am right now. I've just, like, braided it to my head.
I like it. It's cute.
It's aerodynamic.
I was going to say, it's Erykah Badu.
Oh. Aerodynamic Erykah Badu. That's
my
style.
It's like her new design or something.
I like it. I wear it.
I've been changing. So, I'm like Tommy from, you know.
From what?
Martin.
I was going to say Rugrats.
I knew you were going to say that. No, I'm not a baby.
You're not a baby.
I'm not a white baby. White, bald baby with a weird shaped head and a diaper.
So you're Tommy from Martin?
You know why?
Why?
I ain't got no job.
I know. You're just like... free man.
Well, at first I was like, oh my god, I'm a bum. I'm probably not gonna I'm not gonna be working until probably January at the earliest.
But here's this. You say that you don't have a job, but you literally have a performance tonight.
I do.
You
have
just
a performance
finished
tonight.
Temple of Poon.
I did. And I'm a CEO of my own company.
So you're kinda working all the time.
Somebody else just described to me that I am footloose and fancy free.
Kind of.
That's kind of the way I like to describe
You're
it.
You're like one foot is tap dancing while the other one's like in a business suit.
Fair enough. I think this is as like footloose as I possibly get.
That's true.
Yeah.
You're always hustling.
Oh, but
every day I'm hustling.
Hustling, hustling. Oh, like the LMFOFOFO.
Yes.
Is that them?
Like the guy. No, that's
every day I'm hustling.
No, that's
them.
Big Mike.
No, because they're like every day I'm hustling. There's Party Rock.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Oh.
Which is a play on Every Day I'm Hustling.
Wow, that's poetic.
I don't know if it's a good thing that I know this, but I do, and I'm just going to run with it.
I'd assume they were the same thing. Thank you for clarifying.
Apparently, I'm a big LMFAO fan.
You're huge. You stalk them
Number
in LA.
Number one. Happenstance stalking.
Okay, sure.
Where
you
like,
went there.
Oh, we just happened to be here at the same time.
You
what?
You went there with a mission, and you were like, I'm going to find LMFFO. That's a hard thing to say, by the way.
LMFAO.
Okay, fancy girl, showing off.
I practice my enunciation.
Well, it's all those alliterations. I can't do BHCM, that Rihanna song.
BBHMM,
which is also a play on another hip-hop song.
Which one is that?
It's some dude yelling, bitch better have my money. And that's,
what was that?
I don't know. I heard it. Is that at the nightclub as they do?
Then I'm glad that Rihanna took it, reappropriated
it. No, bitch better have my money.
That song, actually, I was listening to it the other day, and... deconstructing it,
yeah.
As I do.
Yes.
It is actually a pretty good heist, like, song. Like, it has a story.
Yeah. Well, I actually was thinking it was actually about, like, the record label. And it was, like, these
guys. But she's like, I got your wife in my back seat. Like, she's like, I got you. I'm going, I need to get my money.
Well, I think, like, yeah, it's, like, these record execs who have her money. And she's so she like, stole their you wife. Need to get, yes. Your wife is dead unless I get my fucking money.
So good.
Get it, girl. Get it. Don't mess with her. She's from Barbados.
Island style is a little relaxed.
Well, the damn girl.
Except for jobs.
Okay.
When you're an immigrant islander, mm-hmm. I can say this because I'm Jamaican.
Yeah, get it, girl.
You gotta have as many jobs as you possibly can. You gotta have that's a real thing. That's jobs. You gotta work hard.
That's hard. So that's a real thing. So, kind of. Okay.
Don't quote me on it.
Okay. No. I believe you. So I went to the doctor for the first time in 6 years.
Just get in it. Just get your hair cut fresh. My haircut. Get your body checked out.
I haven't been to the doctor in 6 years.
What do they say?
Well, first of all, I went to the bougiest doctor I've ever been to in my life.
Who did you go to?
I went to this. It's this place called One Medical Group.
I've heard about One Medical Group.
It's amazing. Oh. So you go in and it's like a nightclub.
No,
I'm not kidding. Or at least like a fancy like coffee bar that's, you know.
Was it like Virgin Airlines where you like walk in there and it's like.
I would say it's literally kind of like that Virgin Airlines of doctors.
Ooh, okay. So you explain it. I'll do background music.
And so I go in. Because sometimes you usually go to a doctor and you're like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm scared.
Yes.
And there's like, you know, IKEA, furniture. Or even like, what's like above IKEA?
Crate and Barrel?
Crate and Barrel. Maybe even a step above Crate and Barrel.
William and Sonoma?
Sure. Or just that. Yeah, that's exactly. So they all the furniture's from William and Sonoma. And
or is it William Sonoma? Maybe no and.
Okay. Well, whoever those people are.
Bougies.
Two steps up from IKEA. Like, you know, maybe it takes two people to put the furniture together.
And you actually get a screwdriver, not a little metal hook.
Real screwdriver. Real screwdriver furniture, baby.
And the instructions are in English and not weird Swedish with like blobby men.
Those are little just comics. They're like literally comics. They're funny because it's just like, he dropped the hammer.
I think at one point he like looks frustrated where he's like,
Yeah. So none of that.
Okay.
So I go in and they're just like, hi, welcome. You know, there's some refreshments.
They gave you refreshments?
Refreshments, yeah.
What was it, like a water pump or something?
It was like, you know, fancy water with like cucumbers and...
What?
Yes.
Kaiser, take notice. I want better treatment.
Oh, it gets even... Okay. And so then I meet my doctor, Kate.
It's not Dr. So-and-so?
No, first name basis. She comes out and she's like, hi, I'm Kate. This is your first time. And
was she like wearing yoga pants or something?
She was wearing just like hangout clothes. Like she's not wearing like a white lab coat or anything. Kate's just hanging out. And her like business casual, more so casual than anything. Oh. And her casual clothing.
Oh.
Casual wear.
Okay. From a little Macy's. Casual.
Nordstrom's maybe. Because she's a doctor.
She's wearing like a cashmere sweater.
She's Kate. She's like, you know, she's just Kate. And so we sit down in Kate's room and we just are chatting it up. And like,
this is amazing.
She went at like, you know, usually those doctor tables. She's like, didn't have me sit on that table. She's like, no, just hang out here.
And were you like sat on a couch?
At a computer and like I was at a chair and we just chatted about my, you know, history. And then like,
yeah,
I felt like sometimes I feel like when you go to the doctor, like you're apprehensive to tell them about things.
Yeah. I hate it when they're like, how many times a week do you have a drink? I usually lie. I'm like, only on the weekends or like one or so. I said one. 3 or 4 times a week, and my doctor gave me a pamphlet on alcohol. No, that's not a joke. That's real life. So forever after that, I was like, one, I'm never seeing you again. And two,
I like how he just says...
I need a drink.
I like how he says that, and he just looks at you, and he's like,
you might want to check this pamphlet out. This is lady doctor. I chose her because her name was similar to mine.
Oh, see? Well, not Kate. Kate wouldn't have any of that.
I know.
I talked about Kate about all kinds of things, about, you know, recreational drug usage or drinking and all that sort of stuff. And then I mentioned, she was like, but how much do you smoke? And I was like, on the occasion, she's like, that's just stupid. She's like, smoking is dumb. Anything else? She was like, yeah. So she was really cool. And because I'm like paying out of pocket for this, like, listen, I don't have insurance. I'm an artist. I still don't have insurance.
But what about Obamacare? You haven't took that up?
No.
Oh.
And then apparently I'm supposed to pay like for taxes, like extra.
I think so.
No. I just said last year they're like in the options, like, can you not afford it? And I was like, yep.
Aww.
Well, I could, but I lied. Oh, shit. I mean, I love you, Obama.
Take it back.
I take it back.
He lost it in the mail, everybody. Just got lost in the shuffle. It was fine.
So because I'm paying out of pocket, I asked Kate about everything. So I was like, I'm going to get my money's worth. I was like, what's this bump over here?
Good.
And I was like, what does this do?
Yeah.
I was like pointing at things.
She's like, that's your leg.
I was like, oh, but should I be concerned about this? She's like, only if you want to make that noise. But it was great. Dropped my pants. She took a look, and it was just very casual and fun. So
I feel like I need to be in like a hospital setting when I'm like getting naked. Did it just feel like you're in someone's living room with some Crate and Barrel like furniture, and you're like,
yeah?
Are you sure you didn't wander into Kate's house?
It felt like it. Because literally we were just chatting, and it just made it so easy. It's like if I was talking to you, and I was like, Aneke, I'm taking my pants off. Take a look at things. And you're like, just talking, right. And you're just poking at things. And she's like, I see these things all the time.
That's... My new doctor did that, too. I love it. I was like, I'm having issues with this private area on my body. My butt.
Yeah.
You know, a cheek thing.
A little cheek thing.
And she was like, you know what? I see butts all the time. It's totally fine. And she was like, you know, you just have some dry skin.
Yeah.
And that made me feel so much better. Whereas that other doctor who gave me that alcoholic pamphlet, she came in and she was like, I'm kind of sick today, so I probably shouldn't touch you.
She's the worst. I hope you're fired, lady. You probably shouldn't be a doctor. I got an inhaler.
Why?
I'm an asthmatic, born this way.
Me too.
I haven't had an inhaler in like 7 years.
Me too. How did you get an inhaler again?
Kate hooked it up. She was like, and then she couldn't believe that I didn't have been doing all my activities and not like, she's like, you're going to be breathing easier. Life will be better. So
that's good.
Thanks, Kate. I highly recommend One Medical Group. It is a party.
Yeah.
It does not feel like you're going to the creepy ass doctor who doesn't want to touch your butt. Kate will touch your butt. She will say, let's talk about Scandal. And I'm going to touch her butt.
You talked about Scandal with her?
No, but I did read segue.
Okay.
Entertainment Weekly, have you seen it?
No, what's going on with it?
They're on the cover. It's all about Shonda.
Yes.
And it's Shonda and her three leading ladies. And it was amazing because it's Kerry Washington, yes, Viola Davis, and yeah, Ellen Pompeo, and Shonda. Right. And so it's like three black women and this white lady. And it was like...
Oh, it's usually reversed.
It's amazing to see
this.
But
it's just like normalcy because everybody loves Shonda.
I really love Shonda. And then they did like this big interview. I highly recommend it. They did huge interview just all of these people together and just talking. Aww. And then they did a huge photo shoot with all of the cast from all of the shows.
I bet it was beautiful.
It was so beautiful. Just seeing them smiling and laughing with each other. And you realize,
yes,
I live in Shondaland.
I know. I love Shonda.
She's
Lamb.
Great. And they talked about, mm-hmm, like, you know, in Grey's Anatomy when, spoilers, but Christina leaves.
Okay. I don't know who that is, but all right.
Okay. Christina, like, really that show is about the friendship between these two ladies. Okay. Like, it's not about, like, yeah, they have loves in and out.
Oh, Ellen Pompeo and
Sandra Oh.
Sandra Oh, who, yes, I love. Sandra Oh, great actress.
She left the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shonda got a lot of flack because her happy ending wasn't, like, a kid and a marriage. She got like she got her own hospital and like followed her dreams.
Fuck yes. Thank you, Shonda.
Yeah. So it's just really great. And they talked about, you know, racism and, you know, feminist bias and things like that. And just like, you know, when she was first writing, mm-hmm, Grey's Anatomy, all these execs were like, she's a promiscuous girl. Like in the first episode, she, day before her first job, sleeps, mm-hmm, with a guy,
yeah,
that she just met. And so they're like, ladies don't do that. And there's like this room full of like male execs and one lady.
Yeah.
And she just says, I fucked a guy the day before my first job.
The exec said that?
The exec said that.
Oh,
and they all said,
I
and then she went
that.
Into detail about it.
Yes.
And they all shut up and just let
good.
Shonda do her thing.
Thank you, Shonda. Thank you, exec.
Yeah.
Women be having fun too.
Women be doing it and having fun.
I need to go check out that Entertainment Weekly
it's a, you know, it's fun to read a magazine.
I read magazines all the time. It's one of the perks of being a librarian.
Oh.
I don't have to buy them.
It's been a... That's the only reason why you're a librarian. Free magazines. Free. I get it. I'm on to you.
Hey, y'all can have free magazines too. Just go in the library.
Go to the what?
Library.
You mean my computer? Oh, she's not liking that one. She's not liking that one.
I don't mind it.
Okay. Any other updates?
I got lost on my way walking over here.
Okay.
Well, I basically had Homer's journey getting to see James.
This is true.
Because for some reason, on Saturday mornings, everybody and their mom likes to go into San Francisco.
This is true.
So I always end up in traffic, even though I try and time it out fine.
She does.
So I got here, 15 minutes to spare. Woohoo. Drove around for 20 minutes looking for parking. And then I found a spot, these nice ladies, they were like, we're getting out. And I was like, thank you.
Were they also pillow fighting? Because that's what it sounds like.
And then also having a gasoline fight.
Oh.
Like in Zoolander.
Girls, be careful. Girls will be girls, you know? I always say.
Girls just want to have fun.
Girls just want to have fun. Cyndi Lauper was right.
She predicted. Right.
She's literally the oracle.
She has the eye.
She has the sight. She's got the That's So Raven. Sounds like a disease, but
it's real. It's good.
She's got that raven.
So
yeah,
I parked down the street, San Carlos. So I was like, all right, San Carlos. It's San Carlos in 18th Street. I'll just keep walking. I know Guerrero's up on one side.
No idea where San Carlos is, and I live here, but continue.
And then I know that Valencia's on the other side, okay. So I'm in the right spot.
You're in the right space.
I kept walking, and then it deads in into Sycamore. I'm like, where the fuck am I?
I don't even know. I think you, Bermuda Triangle.
Yes. An old lady yelled at me. She was like, hey, and I kept running. And then next to me on the corner of wherever, San Carlos and Sycamore, Bermuda Triangle, San Francisco.
Doesn't exist, y'all.
There was a house with like caged birds outside of it. I was standing there and I hear like tweet, 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 tweet. And I look over and there's these birds in a cage.
And this lady yelling at you.
Yes. And then I look over to my right. I'm like, okay, if I just walk over to the right, I'll get to Valencia and then I could get to 17th Street, wherever the fuck 17th Street is.
Yeah.
I turned to my right. Why am I on Mission all of a sudden?
Uh-oh. And that shit's crazy over there.
It was crazy.
It's amazing that you made it here in one piece.
I don't even know how that happened. I finally get on 17th Street. I'm walking up the block.
There's a bear.
There's two old men.
Bears.
No, I wish.
Were
that would have been delightful. Oh, okay. It was two old men in stripy shirts, both of them carrying heavy tote bags.
Saturday tote bag day. That's
just walking, blocking the street. And I tried to squeeze past them, but they kept swinging their tote bags over their shoulders, swinging around. And they both had striped button-down shirts tucked into their jeans. Both had belts. Both were wearing wraparound sunglasses.
What are you, the fashion police?
I don't know where I am.
I don't know where you were either, because none of that sounds familiar, but I'm glad you made it.
I made it.
Well, let's get into the corners, girl.
Let's go.
But first, let's give a high five.
Did you guys hear that? I hope so.
Because otherwise it's just stupid. Aneke.
James!
My house is crazy.
I know, it's like Winchester Mystery House, like you said.
It does. It feels like I live in the Winchester Mystery House.
There is a little...
There's a witch.
Witch statuette sometimes peering from behind your shoulder right now.
It's over my...
There's a mirror with a cord hanging over on the other...
On the ground. Here.
There's a suitcase with a free sign.
And roommates of mine disappear.
So this stuff is just here.
Well, I don't know whose stuff it is.
There's, some looking like tequila bottles. There's some teaching yoga books.
None of this stuff is mine. I don't know whose
it is. I'm just going to pull this from the corner. That was around here somewhere.
There's a little baby guitar here.
It's called a ukulele.
Listen, I'm not a doctor scientist musician. But Aneke, do you know what corner we're in?
What corner are we in?
The politically correct corner.
PC corner.
PC corner. I want to talk about political correctness.
All right.
You know, there's seems to be some of almost like I feel like the word politically correct is like it's a dirty word.
It is. It's used against people all the time.
And I've even seen like, you know, I don't watch anymore, but South Park just did an episode about Caitlyn Jenner.
I heard about this.
I didn't watch it and I was nervous about them doing it.
Right.
And then apparently the episode's really not really about Caitlyn Jenner. It's really just about how everyone's so politically correct and they kind of need to get over it. When, like, also, I just stopped watching South Park after a while because it felt like it was these two white dudes mm-hmm. who became the dogma on everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this is how we should feel about all these issues that these guys are not, like, and people take whatever they say in South Park and they take it as, like, this
truth.
Is truth. Like,
right.
Oh, this is how things really are.
Instead of just entertainment.
They just have too much of a platform. People just follow them too much of like,
mm-hmm.
anyways, and it's two white dudes talking about like LGBT stuff and like racism
right.
and sexism.
If they had a consultant, then I'd probably
be a little bit more on board.
Yes.
So The Atlantic.
Okay.
Did an article, a long, long article.
Oh, snap.
It was fucking long. and it was written by two dudes. Mm-hmm. Greg Lukianoff, who is the CEO of the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education, and Jonathan Haidt, who's like a doctor dude.
Okay.
He's a psychologist dude.
Okay.
Not as long as a title.
They have credentials.
They wrote a shocking article piece about political correctness.
Okay.
It was called The Coddling of the American Mind. Mm. Yes. Well, apparently, Aneke, dangers are abiding in our universities.
Like what?
Well, the tagline is, in the name of emotional well-being, college students are increasingly demanding protection from words and ideas they don't like. Here's why that's disastrous for education and mental health.
Oh, no. Here we go.
But wait, that one guy's a doctor. Mm. You don't seem excited.
Let's go further.
I'm just going to read you the opening little piece about it. Like, it's a shocking expose on political correctness and the universities. Something strange is happening at America's colleges and universities. A movement is arising, undirected and driven largely by students to scrub campuses clean of words, ideas, and subjects that might cause discomfort or give offense.
Oh my God, alarmist maybe?
So they're doing this whole, they pretty much wrote this whole entire piece about how, you know, political correctness is ruining colleges, and it's essentially what they're saying is it's making everybody, too sensitive. That we're the universities are having to create these in the safe spaces.
Oh my God.
That like it's gotten too much where like, you know, everything has to have like a trigger warning or like you have to preference something and like some professors have to like say, oh, this might be like a trigger for some people.
Right.
And so they're upset that professors they feel like are having to
What's wrong with that?
I don't. But they wrote a very long-winded article for The Atlantic. And most of the readers of The Atlantic are white liberals. Readers. A lot of white liberals read The Atlantic.
Okay.
And so it's interesting because you have this magazine that is seemingly liberal, but wanting to, again, sort of be a roadblock into
making change and stopping negative behavior. That is what PC police, and I hate that term.
I hate it.
Are protecting. If someone is offended by something, instead of getting mad at them for preventing you from saying what you're going to say, maybe think about, what was I going to say? And maybe I shouldn't be saying it.
Not according to Greg and Jonathan.
Those two.
No. Greg and Jonathan are upset. And they're saying that, you know, this whole entire political correctness, for one, it's based on emotions, okay? You're getting your emotions all up in this. And then they're saying, it's creating a culture in which everyone must think twice before speaking up, lest they face charges of insensitivity, aggression, or worse. Like, it's a mad panic because you can't say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Which is so... Do they not realize that this is going to spin out of control? Like, if we were allowed to say whatever the fuck we wanted to say and everybody needed to sit down, then I could go on radio and be like, pancakes, banana, poop shoot down the block. Doesn't make sense. I don't care. Don't block my speech.
Don't block my speech. Don't block it. And so they also like had this point where they're just like, you know, compared to like, you know, when the political correctness was first coming about in like the 80s and 90s, they were like, you know, although they're like, it had some merit then, but like now it's just gotten like way out of control.
Oh my God.
But you wouldn't even have like new terms like African-American LGBTQ came out of people saying, hey,
yes,
don't call me a fag.
Right. Hello.
Don't call me this. Like, this is making me uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it takes those people to have hurt feelings.
Hello.
And say, don't do this. Like, so then how did we get here? Well, they blame Greg and Jonathan.
Who are they blaming?
They are blaming the government.
Oh my God.
Because the government's passing like laws of like discrimination and like harassment. Like, because...
Oh, boo-hoo. People are protected now. Because... Oh, no.
It used to be that sexual harassment had to be like... It was only harassment if it's like the general public thinks it was harassment. But now it's like if it's unwanted, it's harassment. They're like, that's not okay. Because maybe you're just being too sensitive. And he's like, this is like,
yeah. I hate this shit. This stuff makes me so angry. I have never in my life thought to myself, why did this person, God damn this person for telling me that that joke was mean. I immediately feel like if someone goes, hey, okay, that joke was kind of mean. I feel bad immediately. I immediately go, shit, maybe I shouldn't have said it. Let me think back on how I should have rephrased it. Let me think about this other person instead of myself. PC police people who say that shit, they are selfish. Mm-hmm. You're being selfish.
Yes.
You're not thinking about the greater good.
Aneke, really what you should be doing, you're doing that person a disservice because you're not teaching them how to survive in the real world. You got to say, listen, you got to buck up, kiddo. This is the real world. Boom. And of course, like, this all just kind of sounds like, you know, two white dudes who are like, I can't say what I want.
Yeah.
But I voted for Obama. This is literally what this is. And they also, like, you know, like, they were upset. This is what I took offense to. They were like, yeah. I mean, you can't even have peanut butter sandwiches in schools anymore. Because some kids have, like, allergies. Like, I have a nut allergy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, so they're like, upset that they can't.
Oh, no. Someone might die and I can't have my goddamn peanut butter sandwich. Eat another type of sandwich.
They're also upset that dangerous playground equipment has been removed.
As someone who fell off a jungle gym and broke my arm in the tan bark, I'm glad things are safer now.
So they like to use this idea. It's also something like an infomercial for cognitive behavioral therapy and one of these guys' books. Because he's like, this is just basic cognitive behavioral therapy. Mm-hmm. Where, like, it's about minimizing, like, it's pretty much saying that, like, if you think the world is one way, the mm-hmm. world is going to be that way. So if you think that, like, someone's offending you, then that's the world that you're going to create. So if you think that, like, people are being racist, then that's the world that you are creating.
I can't handle this.
So
I think that I am a successful, beautiful, wealthy woman. Two of those three are true.
Yes.
I am not wealthy.
Okay. Well,
this is not the secret, you guys. I was literally,
that's my next note. They literally just want you to secret the world. Secret the world, everybody. That's the key to ending racism. Secret. You gotta, like, hey, you gotta imagine a better place.
That cop who harassed me and said that my car, I stole it, he was visualizing a world where I stole my car. I'm sorry for disappointing you, cop, that I did not steal my own car.
You should have, like, thought better, Aneke. You should have thought better. So they're really upset because they think that critical thinking is being challenged. Like, students aren't being able to critically think, which I actually think by being politically correct or challenging people,
you have to actually look at, like, what it is that you're saying.
Yes!
Stemming from that things are so systemic.
You're
so
not being lazy!
They're being upset that we're challenging that these old ways of thinking. So it's really what it is, all these old-ass professors who had all this power, who are dictating how education and information is being dispersed, they're being challenged.
I don't want to change my lesson plan. That's like, come on!
I want to be able to say whatever I want about ladies and not have to say, am I right? Am I right, ladies? You're not good at drawing. Am I right? Sir, this is history class.
Am I right? So dumb. This is dumb.
So they're upset that, like, they're upset that people are getting, like, the
word, like, offensive is just being thrown around. And they're saying that the word offensive, it's just an expression, when you're saying that I'm offended, you're just, like, pretty much crying about your own feelings. Like, it's
what's wrong with that? You have feelings.
Yeah, offensive. It's not just an expression of one's feelings, but demands the speaker to apologize and be punished for the offense. No one's asking you to be punished or like, it's not like, and so you said something wrong that offended me. And what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with apologizing? What's wrong with being called out? This is people who don't like being called out.
Mm-hmm. And so they're saying, you know, you're magnifying these things. They call it magnification. Then you're labeling it. They're saying that the word microaggressions is being overly used. And because people are calling things out.
This is stupid.
And, yeah, and that you just have this, like, they talk about, like, mental filtering that, like, we're making this up, essentially.
This is a lot of thought and background to something really petty, and it's really scary.
And that they're so upset about, and they're, like, really right. upset, and it's a call to arms. And, like, it was, like, you know, this article in The Atlantic, and it's a very, like, well, it's a well-written in a sense that it's, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, The Atlantic is well-respected as a
It's
source.
Got its periods and commas, and, you know, it's not just some, it's
I
not wanna, TMZ.
I almost, if I were a troll, and I'm not a troll, but I'm going to troll them on this radio show. I would look into who they are. I would look into some sensitive things that happened to them. I would look into maybe some things that might trigger them and go over there and casually start conversation with them, toss in a few of those nuggets and see if they can visualize a better world and not be offended and not call me out on what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Clearly, they have never dealt with this.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, someone who's clearly saying this is, like, not, like, you're not going to see a lot of, like, you're not going to see a blind, gay, black woman in a wheelchair mm-hmm. saying, everybody just needs to stop being so goddamn
Settle
sensitive.
Settle down, world.
Yeah, like, if, you know, when you are someone who's oppressed, like, and you've been oppressed, like, you're not, we're not making this shit up.
Right. For example, if someone told me a racist joke, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that I speak well, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that my hair is exotic and changes all the time, it sucks for me to hear it. If somebody tells me that they got a tan and now they're darker than me, guess what? It sucks for me to hear that. And I want everybody to understand and take a moment to care for your other people and realize maybe sometimes that what you're saying kind of sucks to hear.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Just don't say it anymore.
According to these guys, your college, UC Santa Cruz, failed you and made you a sensitive little bitch. And I can say that because I'm trying to make you strong, woman. So they're saying that rather than protect students, these universities need to equip students to thrive in a world they can't change. Isn't that devastating?
Thrive
in a world that you
that
can't change. You just need to accept
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, shit's racist and sexist. We can't change it at all.
Why are you going to call it, like, for me, when I left UC Santa Cruz, I left with this idea that I can change the world. And that the world is fucked up, and I'm going to work to change it. So on the flip side of this, this guy, George Sachs, who's also a psych doctor dude, official title. He was like, he wrote an article and he was like, yeah, I read that Atlantic article.
Yeah.
And he's a white guy. And yeah. he was like, that's all bullshit.
Yay. Good.
He wrote an article. It was, he wrote an article based on this and it's, you know, let's do a top 10 list. He was okay. like, 10 ways white folks engage in subtle racism. Because he's pretty much like, this entire article is just magnifying subtle, the way, this is where racism is.
Yes.
This article is actually just perpetuating white supremacy and racism. This idea of like coddling and even like patriarchy. Like it's saying, hey, this is how things are.
Right.
Deal with it. Toughen up.
Right.
So he...
Can I just point something out really quickly? We're bringing this to the attention. I'm so glad that the author of this top 10 tips is a white guy because white supremacy does not benefit white people. It benefits white people, but it locks you in a box. And we're bringing this attention not to down or like look down on white people. It's just the structure of our country and what we all live within. And we're trying to make sure everybody is alert and aware to change this shit.
I actually like this article, this top 10 thing as well. This is for people of color. Like, I'm going to read this list, and each one of these, you're going to say, I have fucking experienced it.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I'm glad that a white guy
And the problem is, the things that you just listed of, like, it sucks when, you know, someone says, oh, you talk really nice for a black girl or whatever. That, like... We sometimes, like, these, like, microaggressions and these, like, he also came with the term micro-invalidations. We're not invalidating someone's experience. How do you react and respond to that with people that are your friends or people that you're interacting with on a daily basis? Like, this shit happens all the time. And you're doing, and so I'm saying for people of color as well, to be aware, like, that you're not making this up. And that your feelings are valid, your experience is valid, your trauma is valid.
If you feel that twinge, acknowledge the twinge and know that some shit just happened. Don't absorb it.
Yes. So the first thing is the first way that white people engage in subtle racism, denial. For example, I don't see color. That just perpetuates white supremacy.
You see color.
Number two, shame and hurt. This is when the focus remains on the white person and their emotional wounds, and it's classic deflection. And, like, you know, it's like, I end up consoling my white boyfriend from Portland, ex-boyfriend,
mm-hmm.
during Ferguson, because he was like, I don't understand racism, because I didn't want to talk about it with him. Oh. And I end up, he outcried me.
Oh, my God.
The
world is not about you. It's about everyone.
Yeah, or, like, shame and hurt is also, like, when someone's like, I'm hurt that you would think that I would say that, or, like, or you think that I was being racist. Like, they take it on and make it about them.
That person needs to realize that they said something fucked up.
Number three, narcolepsy and ignorance. This is
narcolepsy.
This is when you invoke
just
white,
sleeping.
You just sleep through it. That's exactly it. Okay. There are people who are literally sleeping through, like, Black Lives Matter, what? Or they just check out. And your white privilege allows you to check out and not engage in the conversation or not participate because it's not your life on the line. It's not your community that's being affected.
Mm-hmm. You have a seat at the table and you don't want to give it up.
You can be clueless. It's the power and privilege to be clueless and not say anything. And you're making making people of color assume responsibility for bringing cultural awareness, and you're putting on us mm-hmm. to make the changes happen.
Like, I once dated a guy who was white, and he said that I talked about race too much.
Fuck him.
Yes.
Go fuck yourself.
Yes. That ended quickly.
Good.
So it's one of those things where it's like, don't shut me up.
Don't shut up. Don't shut me up. You shut up. Not me. You.
Listen.
Masochism.
Oh.
So this is a very interesting one. I don't think I see this too often, but this would be like, it's sort of like when you're like, God, you want to help so much,
mm-hmm.
but you do stupid things.
Like what?
Like, you know, invite like a homeless black man into your house and like give him a place to stay. And then you're like, and then he robs you and you're like, now you're tainted. You're like,
I get that. Right? Yeah.
Like, you just are going out of your way, but you're also like,
don't be taken advantage of.
And here's the thing, when you do that, you're still not examining your own bias.
Right.
And a lot of this is like deflecting from examining your own bias, that all you have bias, it's mm-hmm. systemic, it's ingrained in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I expect you to say racist things or misogynistic things because that's the society we live in.
Right. We now, all live in this.
And let's work through them, mm-hmm. right? And that's why, like, you know, if I'm offending you, let me know, because that's how I can work through something.
Exactly.
Number five, it's when you have faux compassion. Where it sort of draws attention away from your initial sort of biased encounter, mm-hmm. Where you kind of like express understanding, but like you're like, how do I explain this?
It's basically being like, I get it.
Yes. Like,
but then you don't.
Right.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I totally get what it's like to, you know, be oppressed.
Oh, it's like this. And this is what I hate. I absolutely hate this. It's like when you say, oh, yeah, it sucks today because a cop pulled me over even though I wasn't doing anything. And then your friend comes in and goes, oh, I totally understand. If it makes you feel any better, I got a latte and it just was not that good today.
Like, not the same thing.
Yeah.
Fuck your latte and fuck Starbucks. Yeah, you like, and you almost like you rush.
It's an extreme example, but
you rush to, and it's like, I think it's because they feel so uncomfortable by like, oh God, this is happening to
I'm
you.
I'm in this pain too.
Yeah, and like you, but you rush to express your sympathy for them without just acknowledging what's actually happening with the person.
Right.
And you don't, it's not necessarily we're saying, telling you the story and this experience to fix anything or to apologize for anything.
Right.
Like you give an apology. Like mm-hmm. I've had people been like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's all you gotta say.
All these things are happening. No, but I've had the people like apologize to me for during Black Lives Matter, like, oh, I'm so sorry that this is your life. You know, like, I don't need you to apologize.
Yeah.
I know you're just trying to figure out what to do, but the best thing you can do is just examine your own bias and see how...
Yeah, be like, this sucks.
How are you contributing to it? And mm-hmm. you don't have to say anything to me. And it's almost like they want to say something to you
mm-hmm.
to alleviate their guilt and their experience.
I almost feel like a lot of these points that are on here can be transferred almost into any other situation, too. This is how you be a good human.
Right. But according to the other jackasses...
I know. The world is unchangeable.
You can't change anything. It's just the way it is. Defensiveness, number six.
What that article is.
The whole entire article is being defensive.
If you say you're being too sensitive, you're being defensive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know what? I get it. You don't exactly, like, I get it. You didn't own slaves. I get that.
No, you didn't.
But, like, it's still, like, that's not what just racism is.
It's
like,
about the systems that are in our country right now.
Seven. We know this one. It's the pain game. Or as we like to call it, the oppression Olympics. Yeah. Like, you know, and people, like, and it's no, the Holocaust was absolutely terrible.
It was absolutely terrible.
But slavery happened for 500 years, 500, 600 years.
But I'm just saying, no, that's, you can't say that. That's oppression Olympics. You gotta be like, they're both terrible.
But like, you can't, it just.
They're both terrible.
I absolutely agree. But like, you also just like, I don't know.
There's no comparison. People shouldn't compare oppression. If you're talking about one oppression, then that's the oppression that you're talking about at the time.
Well, absolutely. So don't compare your experience to what it is that you experienced. But I do want to say is that, like, there's not systemic things in America that, like, you know, like, there's not... Because slavery still has systemic, like, things that we're still dealing with.
Definitely.
We have a podcast because of this. Like,
definitely.
Things are so... ingrained. And so it's like, just allow us to express our pain.
Right.
Number eight, your racial resume.
Oh, what's that?
I voted for Obama.
Oh, I have black friends.
I have a black friend. Hey, I went to that black concert.
I
saw Chocolate City.
All
no,
my
you
friends
didn't,
are
liar.
Ladies.
You fucking didn't see it.
I did not see Chocolate City.
You know, and it doesn't excuse you to be able to say whatever it is you want.
No.
And again, like, you're not looking at your actual personal bias.
Right.
Number nine, white guilt. Oh, I feel terrible about this. We kind of talked about this earlier. Mm. All this police brutality. Okay, great. That doesn't... I don't need to hear your feelings about that necessarily, right? Like, it's not about that. Like, white guilt turns it and makes it about you. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm consoling my white boyfriend because he's so sad about racism.
Yeah.
Like, that, it's... How did you make this about you?
Right.
It's not. Hold it in.
Right.
Be strong.
Yes.
And number 10,
that should be on a pillow. Hold it in. Be strong.
Be strong. I would hug that all the time. Number 10, intellectualization. You know, this is like, this is the example of like, but we have a black president, so I understand how you guys, there's no racism. Or it's like, Billy Joe Johnson, black guy.
Black guy.
He's got a great job at Google. Like, he's black and he did it.
I know.
Colin Powell is
like,
successful.
Or being like, Eneke, you have a master's degree and a full-fledged career. You're a faculty member. Why are you complaining?
Yeah, or like, you did it. Why can't
someone
Shonda down the street do it?
Oh, Shonda.
Shonda Rhimes did do it.
She did do it. She did well. But...
That's not mean, no. And if anything, you know, she did it in spite of all of these systems.
Right.
It's like quote in Scandal when Papa Pope is saying to Olivia, he's like, you've got to work twice as hard to get half as much.
And it's true.
And fucking true.
That's the conversation that all black children tend to get from their parents.
And can I tell you this other thing? I don't want to go into too much detail about this. I experienced pretty much all 10 of these things two nights ago in the Castro with a white dude that I thought was cute. Trying to get my dance on.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get my dance on, make out a little, maybe
get
laid.
He ruined it.
And somehow we started talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, and he just, like, went off about this. And I didn't want to discuss this because I've been drinking. I just want to dance.
I've been drinking.
And then, like, I only entertained this conversation because I thought he was cute. And then I also had to challenge this whole entire thing of, like, why do I think he's cute? And, like, what do I view as cute? And that, like, you know, there's so few, like, there's a lot of white dudes in the LGBT gay community here in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of black dudes in going out.
Mm-mm.
So my pool is smaller, right? And I can look at all these, like, white dudes and be like, no, okay, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
whereas, like, the black guys, you're like, you and you.
I was like, there's this one guy, and I was like, hey,
I've seen you before.
You're just not me. You're not cute.
You're not my type. I'm sorry.
Good luck.
You
look like Urkel.
Oh.
I'm sure he's nice. I said hi to him.
What was it?
Did I do
hold
that?
It in, keep it together.
What is that? My pillow?
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore. And I was like, ugh, we can go outside if you want to talk about this. And he's like, yeah, let's do that.
No!
So we go outside. I got live trolled in person. Oh, live trolled. And then he got to this point where he was like, no. I was like, I don't want to talk about this. He's like, no. That's how you get change done. You talk about things. Time and place, dude.
Right.
Time and place. I even said to him, I was like, hey, if you want to go out for coffee.
Let's do it. Have a conversation.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or were you asking him out on a date?
I mean, you know. Maybe.
He must have been really cute.
He was cute, and he'd seen me as Scary Spice before, and like we've been flirting.
Okay, this is a PSA right now that you're sending out. People of the world, every boy, every girl.
Colors of the world.
Spice up your life. But I want you to know that one, this list that James just listed off, if you're white, this is a great example of how to check your own privilege and contribute to the movements that are out there.
Yes.
If you are not white, this is a good way to check your own other privileges and communicate with the rest of the world out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do this, if you don't live by these 10 standards that James just listed and try not to do these things, you may, one, be missing out on a good lay. You may, two, be ruining a night out.
You ruined my night. You literally, and my friend Edgar got involved. Edgar, love Edgar, went to college with Edgar, he's Latino, and he came into the mix and he was drunk too.
Mm-hmm.
And then that dude said something to the effect of like, he was like, you know, I'm a gay man and it's hard and I have to like fight for things all the time. And I fucking lost my shit. I fucking lost my shit. He pushed a button and I was like, fuck this. Mm. I lost it. I'm out on the side of the street fucking yelling at him. I was like, fuck you. Whitey.
Oh my God.
Fucking lost it. Because I feel like for too often, like this past week especially, it's been really challenging. Mm-hmm. I've been dealing with a lot of white fragility and this entire list of 10 things.
Mm.
We have to deal with this all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating. And I'm just so done with it.
Mm.
And how dare you? You have no idea what it's like to live in my shoes and be a gay black man in San Francisco, which is increasingly white all the time, and having to deal with all this. And I just let it all out. It's like, fuck you, San Francisco.
Mm.
I love you, San Francisco. But I'm moving to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to being, I need to be in a place that has culture, has diversity, and celebrates that. Like, I gotta get out of here. It's just too much.
There's a place across the bridge.
Yeah, still not enough theater.
Not enough theater, but you can appreciate the beautiful tapestry of Oakland.
I can. It's lovely. I spent a summer there. It was great. But I got live trolled in that game.
I know. You got live trolled and it was fucked up.
So I'm going to say this, and this is just my thing, and I learned this from Anthony Williams, who was here last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with white guys. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I'm done. Because my experience has been terrible. Every one of these guys I've dated does not understand or respect myself and my experiences that I go through.
Mm-hmm.
You've lucked out. Congratulations. Andrew's wonderful and loving. I'm just done. Taking a break. I'm out. I'm only dating people of color at this point. Sorry, y'all.
Well, I have nothing to say to that. Because, I mean, honestly, that's your own opinion and that's where you're at. And it makes sense from your experiences that you've had.
Yeah.
You know? But I am on the other end where I feel like there are, I mean, good people out there no matter who they are. And I think what the nitty-gritty boils down to is just honestly looking outside of yourself. People need to look outside of themselves. And I think that's what we're missing right now.
But I also think that for myself, what I know that I need and I've not gotten, I want someone that understands what it's like to be a queer man of color. Of like, it's a different experience. That even like, you know, the homophobia within the black community, I would love to have somebody who understands that
and comes
from
sense.
That same thing. And that like, that I'm finding that the white guys just don't have that same experience or understanding or I don't want to have to come home and explain my life or
you
defend
don't.
My life.
But I don't want to lump everybody together too. But I totally understand where
it's
you're coming from.
It's my preference.
Right.
I want a beautiful black man. That is what I want. I'm putting an advertisement
New
out
York
there.
Black guys.
Come and get me. I'm ready. Lick me.
Oh. Hey, James.
Hey, girl.
So, the corner that we're in right now.
Where am I?
We are in...
Potato chips.
We're doing a little... Potato chips.
I just said what came... It's just a word, a free word association.
Ooh, it's like jazz.
Oh, piccolo.
Banana.
Nipples.
Toes.
Eyes.
Potato chips.
Anake.
Okay.
Oh.
Let's do this.
Amen.
Okay, so we're doing Revisit Corner.
Revisit?
Revisit.
Revisit. Are we revisiting something?
We're revisiting a corner that I brought up a couple of episodes ago.
I'm so glad you did this, because I actually almost went to an entire episode where we're like, where are they now?
Ooh, we can go do back that. Like the Oprah show,
like
where
we're
like...
the state of affairs. And it's like, oh, this is still shitty. Oh, this is still terrible.
Well, this is a little bit better.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's hypothetically better, but it's good that people are taking notice.
Okay.
So, if you remember a few episodes ago, I brought up the Kids for Cash.
Oh, God, yeah.
With the juvenile prison system, with the private... we talked about privatized prisons.
Yes.
We talked about the judges that made a deal with the private juvenile system, sending black kids over there.
Ugh, I can't.
All of that. It was terrible.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
So, last Thursday, today is Saturday, so it was the 17th of September.
Okay.
Our man, Bernie Sanders.
Bernie.
He proposed an act.
Okay.
And the act was Justice Is Not For Sale Act.
Whoa.
Where he wants to basically get rid of, to ban private prisons.
I, like, my heart is just exploding with confetti.
I know, right? The fact that he's, I don't know if he could ever get this act passed. I don't know if it's even possible, but I love
he's
the fact that people are
about
thinking
it.
About it or talking about it or bringing this to the forefront and that are actually proposing this.
Yeah.
So basically, private prisons, they house 8.4% of federal inmates. Not
yes.
that much.
Okay.
But in 2013, a study was held that showed that there's a higher rate of inmates of color, they get sent to private prisons.
Ooh.
So majority of these private prisons are filled with inmates of color,
mm-hmm.
which we're already seeing a little, that's...
Yes.
So these private prisons tend to have a higher rate in violence.
Uh-huh.
And in conjunction with the violence, they have less than adequate health care. So these guys are getting beat up in the prisons.
And then
they just kind of have to fester in their own cells.
Ew.
Which is terrible. And then I think before we've talked about how prisons should be a place of rehabilitation. You know? You go to prison, you want to get better. So when you come out of prison, you're a better person.
You should be learning. We talked about this coding or something. Or something mm-hmm. that you can come out. Like, there's... They're getting rid of libraries in prison.
Which is crazy.
Which, so these people have, like, nothing to do except just, like...
create gangs and fester more awful behavior.
Yes.
So...
But that's cyclical, because then if these people, like, you know, release them back out...
Right.
And they fuck up again, and back they are again.
I know.
Making those Nikes.
Oh, it's so messed up.
Fucked
Michael
up.
Jordan.
Fuck you, MJ. Not Michael Jackson.
Love that, MJ.
He's great.
Rest
but Michael
peace.
Jordan.
Fuck you. Get out of here.
Space Jam.
Get back in that corner.
Space don't.
Space do not.
Space do not.
Do not.
Do not.
So, there are fewer educational opportunities in these private prisons. So they're basically just money machines, because with every inmate, they get money.
Oh.
So they house people... excuse me, in these private prisons to get money, and then they don't even use them back in the prisons. They're not taking that money and putting it towards the inmates.
They're just taking that money and being like, sweet.
Exactly.
Here, Sheila, here's $80. We got another one in. Sheila.
Damn you, Sheila. Mm-mm. So, Bernie Sanders is proposing to ban these
wow.
prisons,
makes
which
sense.
Is huge
yeah.
and is great that he's talking about the problems that are caused by this system.
Yes.
It's also co-sponsored, and I want to give credit to these people as well. Keith Ellison, who is a Democrat from Missouri. Raul Grivi, I'm going to say his name, Grijalva. Can't say
it. A lot
it,
of letters.
But you're a Democrat from Arizona.
Doing it.
Bobby L. Rush is a Democrat from Illinois, and they are sponsoring this. So the bill would require the government to directly oversee correctional facilities rather than contracting them out. So they would stay a government fucking prison.
That makes sense.
Right?
Not gonna lie, that makes sense.
It's so true. Bernie Sanders says this: in my view, we need bold change in our criminal justice system. As a first step, we need to start treating prisoners like human beings. Private companies should not be profiting from their incarceration. Mic drop. I mean, hello, it's so simple.
Well, you know, remember that troll guy was wondering why I'm voting for Bernie Sanders? It's things like this.
Right? And maybe it might be hard when he actually gets into office because, I mean, I'm still really devastated that the House of Representatives defunded Planned Parenthood. Yeah. But still, the fact that we're talking about it, that it's getting into the public eye, that someone running for president is bringing this issue
up. No one's ever talked about that.
Right? So, if passed, the bill could also kill a provision that requires immigrants and custom enforcement to detain 34,000 people a day and require the FCC and Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to provide regular services in prisons such as phone calls and banking.
Yeah.
Which would increase the financial burden on offenders and their families.
Mm.
So not only are they looking out for the inmates and the system,
but they're
looking
for families.
Right, which are the people that suffer the most.
And yeah, like you destroy these families, and then these families that are predominantly people of color.
Right.
And now it just continues to destroy those communities, those people. And then it's so cyclical because then you have, you know, broken windows laws where it's
right.
Like if you see something suspicious. And just like even in Sacramento, there black guy, like this young black man got beaten up for jaywalking across the street.
Oh my God.
And he was like, and so there's a video of it and it's terrible. Mm-hmm. And like this kid's like putting his hands up to not be beaten.
Right.
And then like this is why I'm so frustrated, because this week some white person posted, I just shared the video.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, was he beaten for jaywalking or resisting arrest?
Oh my God.
Looks like he was trying not to get fucking beaten up. Like,
right.
And no one, he was jaywalking, whatever. And like, it's a disproportionate thing that happens to people of color.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing videos of some white kid running across the street.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I'm glad that Bernie Sanders is bringing this up.
This is great. Yeah.
Because all I need are people to start talking about these issues.
Yes.
So then people can start thinking outside of themselves and thinking about the system that we're in.
Yeah.
The system that is, in a sense, we're in prison of this system
yeah.
of thought.
Yes.
You know? There's more than to just commit a crime and go to jail. There's more than that. It's a whole built around for-profit system that we need to stop, nip it in the butt.
And I think if we start changing those, like, because there's so many prisons that, like, then we got to put people in those prisons, and so then you create these bullshit laws that,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, that, like, what is that, 15-year-old kid who built that clock?
Right.
Yeah, that, like, Middle Eastern kid.
Yeah, well, he's from, he's African. He's Sudanese.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
of course. Wow.
Right.
Built a clock, was like, look what I made, and they were like, terrorist.
I know.
Terrorist. And like, you know, that same town, there was like some kids who brought like these 14-year-old kids, brought their guns to school and was like, hey, but you can be white and have guns and bring those to school, but how dare you be a person of color and bring a clock that you built? You can't do that.
It's ridiculous. People like today on Nextdoor, which is an app that talks about your neighborhood. It's like a social media app where it's like, this is... And normally there's like sweet things like, I have extra pears. Come and get them. Who wants this bed? I'm trying to get rid of it. This morning, someone wrote, suspicious blue car casing the hood. One, I wanted to be like, why'd you write the hood?
Come on.
And then two, I wrote under there, I'm like, why was it suspicious? He could have been looking for his friend's house.
Yeah.
Tell me why it's suspicious.
It's redonkulous.
So let's stop assuming everything is bad. Let's give things credit.
Stop assuming black people are bad.
I know.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Do you know how to play the game Spades?
Yeah, I do.
I don't.
Oh, it's super fun. Do you know how to play Hearts?
I do know how to play Hearts.
Okay, it's like Hearts.
Because I read an article recently where they were like, all black people are born knowing how to play Spades. And I was like, I don't. It was written by a black person.
Oh, yeah, but no.
I was like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we play Spades in my house.
I don't know how to play.
Well, not on, like my aunts and my uncles. Oh, that shit is fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a more fun version of Hearts. Because you play in teams.
Oh.
Yeah, and it gets really insane. Like, my aunt, if you are not up to speed and where she is, she doesn't want to be your partner. She will be so mad at you.
Oh my God.
She's like, you play that ace. She's not like that, but yeah.
But anyways, thank you, Bernie Sanders, for bringing that up.
B. Sanders.
Yeah, doing feel what you burn. Do. Feel the burn.
Thanks, Aneke. So yeah. informative.
And I'm so glad that we got to revisit that topic.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you dug deep and you were like, ooh.
Let me see what we got over
She's
here.
She's on the case.
Digga, 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 digga.
Aneke is literally Nancy Drew.
It's true. I have my my little backpack inside of it.
I'm your
I have
sidekick.
A microscope.
I'm your sidekick who's always just running around drinking mimosas.
Whee!
Being like, hey, you missed a spot. Look underneath that rug. Hey, look, that person's going to try to kidnap you.
Too bad. I got my mimosa.
My hands are full. Otherwise, I'd help. Sippy, sip, sip.
Come on.
What?
I'm taking applications for better sidekicks. You gotta help me.
But I'm busy.
You gotta put that mimosa down. Ugh,
life is not
you
fair.
You gotta grab me from my abductor.
Ugh, I'm offended.
I don't know. You need to look at that Atlantic article.
Fuck up.
Suck it in and hold it in.
You know what I miss?
What do you miss?
History Corner!
History Corner!
Oh, it's
History
a classic.
Corner! It's back. It's back. It's back.
It's back.
Ooh. Wow, we have 15 episodes.
Mm-hmm. We do.
And History Corner, We can actually do like a throwback, like, oh, remember History Corner? Oh, because we have so many episodes.
That's true. We can, we can do a best of. Best of History Corner.
No, we need an intern to listen to our episodes to tell me.
Like Tesla. Why?
That's a classic.
The host should not be named.
That is a classic.
And I apparently got in a fight over Tesla. He was so weird.
He's so weird.
And his pigeon girlfriend. I couldn't resist making fun of him. And you love him so much.
You ready for History Corner?
Yeah, I am.
So, September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa Williams, 1983.
I love where this is going. I love her.
Was crowned the first Black Miss America.
Yay, get it, girl. Now everything good will happen to her. Nothing bad will ever happen to her.
Take it away!
What? No!
Take it away!
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Because she had some naked photos.
So?
Right? Like, back in 1980, whatever, early 80s, 83.
How dare you?
How dare you pose naked? Wait, now everybody and their mom's naked.
Did she pose for Playboy? Is that what it was?
I believe so.
Or was
so.
It like personal photos?
No, it wasn't personal.
It
I think
was personal
it was
photos and they were digging around her house.
I think it might have been. Get out of my trash.
She was like, Vanessa.
Get out of my trash.
What are these photos?
And it was 1983, so it was like she had to go and get them developed, wait a week, so go back to pick them up.
Like, I can't wait for those photos.
I wonder what I look like in them.
I hope I wore my knee socks. I forgot. It's been a week.
Been so long that I take pictures of.
Ooh, the pictures are here.
Oh, I'm naked. Throw that out. Found it. Gotcha, bitch. Give me your crown. I believe she.
So it wasn't that. That's not
no,
what happened.
No, I think it might have been test photos for Playboy or something.
I wish that we could write the Lifetime movie. You know, they're doing like unauthorized.
We just did it just then.
Like, they just kind of go off the rails.
It's like a whole montage of her doing her weekly duties, waiting for those pictures to develop.
That's the movie.
Like, hella 80s. Like, she's getting a perm. She's watching Dynasty or whatever. Ooh. She goes to the roller skating rink.
Skate.
It's just her listening to like Madonna. And,
yeah.
Like, 80s music.
It's like, girls just want to have fun.
Oh, my pictures are ready.
Oh, cool. Oh, I don't need these.
No,
and then, like, mwah. Whoever, like, took her crown, you know it was, like, a setup.
Oh, yeah.
That lady was in her trash being like, it got you.
Her hands are just poking out of the trash, and when she throws the pictures in, she grabs them.
This is going to be a great movie. Lifetime, we're ready.
We're ready, hello.
We're the new writers. Watch out, Shonda. Here comes
Aneke and
James.
Hello, Lifetime, by the way.
What?
Because Lifetime's good now.
What?
Yes. First and foremost, this is a total tangent.
That's okay.
But Lifetime has Project Runway.
Oh, yeah. They picked that
up. And they've
had
it for a while. Mm-hmm. And if you have, I have a cable subscription. If you go onto the Lifetime website.
Fancy. So you just drop that. I have a cable subscription.
You know, I just casually ballin' with my cable. Basic cable, y'all.
I don't own a
no
TV.
No HBO. You're just an artist. You're like, I don't need television. I have my inspiration from the world.
That doesn't really
I know, you have a giant television behind
but
your head right now.
No one watches it. We don't know how to turn it on. It's not mine.
So, on Lifetime.com, mylifetime.com, you can watch whatever they've aired if you have a cable subscription.
Oh, wow.
So I've been just...
It's like the Kirsten Wiig movie.
Yes, you can watch that.
And that was a seriously done movie.
They did it really well.
Yeah, like she was like, no, this is serious.
With Will Ferrell, yeah, I think, too.
Yeah, like... Yeah, Will Ferrell was in it. I used to love it. Like, Lifetime has all the movies that NBC used to do for, like, the Monday Night Movie based on a true story.
Oh, yeah.
There's that one where, like, Candace Cameron is dating Fred Savage, and then he beats her and murders her.
That's a Lifetime movie now.
And it's
That's
called
like...
No One Would Tell.
Yes!
There's another one where Melissa Joan Hart wants to date this guy, and her parents are like, no. And she's like, okay.
Oh my God, I remember this.
And then she starts dating this other guy to murder her parents. And, like, he's like, I don't want to shoot him. And she's like, shoot him already. And so now that her parents are dead, she gets all the money. And what? She gets to date whoever she wants. And it's called Deadly Daughter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That genre went directly to Lifetime.
I used to watch those, and I would be terrified. Because I was like, oh, my God, people are crazy. Or, like, the ones where, like, moms would drown their children.
I know, people aren't that crazy.
Because I would, that's what I would think.
I know, because you see enough of those and you think the world is terrible, but there are extreme cases.
That's true.
People generally are just mildly insane.
That's fair enough.
So, Vanessa Williams was invited back to this year's,
Pageant. She was as a judge.
As a judge. She was the lead judge. It only took, what, 32 years, 33 years for her to come back and do that? Thanks, Miss America. Took your time on that.
Wow.
And apparently I read somewhere that they expected her to apologize, but what? She expected them to apologize, so they conceded to her. Go on, Miss Williams.
I'm sorry, why would she apologize? Sorry that
you
got...
You caught my naked photos? Oh no, my body.
Why should she be ashamed of it?
She shouldn't.
But you know what? I will say to her credit, she fucking showed all of them because she's had an amazing career.
Yes, as a singer, as an actress.
Yes.
She can do it.
She could have been Storm.
You know what? She would have
been. I mean, Angela Bassett's my number one pick.
But Vanessa Williams is right.
She would be much better than Holly Berry.
She's like an underdog. Like, I feel like a lot of people don't really give her credit.
She's amazing in Ugly Betty. She's why I watched Ugly Betty. It was so good because of her. She's just great.
She's great.
I want to see her on Empire.
Good.
Yeah, I want to see her on Empire. Vivica K. Fox is going to Empire.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Empire, where all black actresses go. So, I just wanted to bring up that we need to understand that Vanessa Williams is amazing. Shouldn't have gotten her title taken from her.
No, not at all.
And that she was the first black Miss America.
Boom. Good job, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. And you want to come on the show? We'll talk about it.
Yeah. Please come.
Yeah, you're invited.
Always.
And then if you can sing a song, that'd be great, too.
Can she sing Colors of the Wind?
Oh, yeah. But or, like, The Right Stuff.
Ooh.
The Right Stuff.
Is that her?
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, Jody Watley.
Oh, you're maybe right. Ooh, sorry.
Yikes.
I'll have to edit that out. Maybe we'll have a joint episode with Jody Watley.
What's Jody Watley doing right now?
Nothing, which is why she can come on the podcast.
That's true.
She could use the publicity.
Come on, Jody.
No one said her name in probably like 15 years.
Probably everybody listening to this podcast is like, who the fuck is Jody Watley?
And they're Googling it and they're like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember. I thought that was Vanessa Williams.
Unless they're under 25 and they're like, I have no idea
what you guys are talking about.
Who's Vanessa Williams? What a great episode, James!
So many things happened. Great episode.
I'm sweaty. I'm
sweating in places I didn't know I could sweat.
Ear sweat.
I should go back and see the doctor again.
Back of the knee sweat.
Oh, okay. There's something weird back here.
Oh, it's sweat.
Better go ask Dr. Kate.
In her magical office.
Yeah, I definitely want to go there. And thanks all for all listening. The listenership has been growing, so thank you for spreading the word.
Yes, if you're new to the podcast, welcome.
Welcome.
Spread the word, too.
Spread it.
I'm so glad you guys are listening. And all of you corner kids, thanks for listening. You guys are the best. The
original OGs of the corners. Have a great week. Follow us on Twitter.
Follow us on Twitter, Minority Corner with a K.
And we have a Facebook page. Like it.
Like our page.
You can send us things that you think we should talk about.
Send us articles.
Send us sexy pictures. Okay, don't do that.
I don't want to.
Okay.
Let's say PG-13 sexy pictures.
Oh, that's fun.
Not
or like
X.
Ridiculously like ones. Like you like mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Sticking your tongue out.
Ooh. That'd be fun. I like that.
You should like a contest. Who has the most ridiculous, sexy photo?
Please do it.
Post it on the website.
Yes. Oh, my personal Twitter is Ms. Fitzy, MizzFitzie.
And I don't know what mine is. At James Arthur or something. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I have like 2 Twitter followers. Still. Thanks, guys.
Whatever. You'll get more.
Okay. Why don't you come show me how to do it?
I will.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good week.
Bye.